Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to the Midweek Takeaway. Today we're joined by Ben Klube, CEO of Energy Pathways. Welcome back to the podcast, Ben.
Thank you very much. Looking forward to being here.
Absolutely, yeah. So we've just seen the recent news that Energy Pathways has been invited by the Department of Energy Security, DESNZ, to join the Hydrogen Storage Business Model, HSBM Design Group, alongside leading Tier 1 companies. This collaboration aims to develop a framework to promote hydrogen storage projects, with the first allocation round expected in 2025. Energy Pathways plans to submit its MESH project, a large-scale natural gas and green hydrogen storage facility off the Lancashire coast. MESH is strategically located to harness renewable energy, connect to emerging hydrogen markets, and repurpose existing gas infrastructure. Energy Pathways anticipates completing pre-FEED by 2024 and achieving FID by the end of 2025. You highlighted the company's commitment to contributing to the UK's energy transition and net zero goals through this collaboration. Sounds like an exciting collaboration, Ben, and presumably being part of a government-supported initiative, it has the potential to make Energy Pathways a strong candidate for grants, subsidies, and other funding mechanisms.
Yeah, that's right. So the collaboration that we're involved in here is with DESNZ is to essentially determine or contribute to the DESNZ process to determine the government support model for the development of hydrogen storage going forward. So we're looking forward to making our contributions into that process. And ultimately, that's going to manifest itself in a hydrogen storage allocation round run by the government to support future hydrogen development of future hydrogen storage projects.
Absolutely, yeah. So I saw in the RNS, obviously, that this is a UK goal, producing up to, is it 10 gigawatts of this low carbon hydrogen by 2030. And obviously, you know, aiming to build large scale hydrogen storage infrastructure to support this low carbon energy goals. So is it about after about a year of evaluation, obviously successful projects will be announced depending on, I guess, regulatory approvals. But can you just elaborate on how Energy Pathways participation in the HSBM design group could shape the commercial and regulatory framework for obviously hydrogen storage in the UK? And what key contributions do you foresee your company making to this process?
Yeah, sure. So as you can see, this is all driven by government energy policy. But the fundamental building block of the UK energy transition is a massive expansion of renewable wind generating capacity, going from what is currently circa 30 gigawatts of capacity up to threefold increase by 2030 up to 90 gigawatts. And obviously that's intermittent in nature, that generating capacity. The framework for that is that the wind developers are essentially underwritten by the government to develop that capacity. So what happens is that with that increase in wind capacity, the government will be paying essentially curtailment costs to when it can't take the increased wind capacity because the demand's not there or there are grid constraints. So the challenge is on to now work out how to harness and make use of those curtailment costs that are inevitably going to becoming the way of the UK energy system. Currently, those curtailment costs are estimated to be in the order of £2 billion a year, and they're anticipated to increase to £8 billion a year by 2030. So really, the purpose of the hydrogen storage here is to harness those curtailment costs and get benefit for them by storing that wind energy in the form of hydrogen so it can be reused during other periods when the demand is there and the wind generating capacity is not there.
So it's a real major step forward for Energy Pathways, so congratulations on that. I wouldn't want to have a few drinks and have to pronounce DESNZ and MESH Natural. there's a lot of different ways that we can describe all of this. But just so we're clear, the government's going to have to pay this £8 billion anyway, because basically the wind's going to blow, the electric is going to be produced, or the energy is going to be produced. And really what we're talking about here is they've got to save as much of that as possible so that they can make money from the hydrogen itself. Is that fair?
Yeah, that's right. So when the wind blows, with all this generating capacity, the transaction what effectively happens is that the government has underwritten that generating capacity on contracts for difference, which says that if the wind is blowing and you can generate electricity, we will pay you for that. But what happens is that they effectively say, well, we can't take the power, but we still have to pay you. And that's due to two factors. One, demand. If the demand's not there, which it's effectively not going to be on high wind days. And secondly, the grid cannot take the additional wind energy. So solutions that can harness those curtailment payments in the form of hydrogen, stored hydrogen, is considered by the government DESNZ to be a means of harnessing that curtailed cost that is going to occur.
It's ironic. So what you're saying is that with the planned amount of wind power in the UK, because obviously it's still being expanded, I think, that we would actually have at peak times, as in when it's generating its full capacity, we would have too much energy.
That's right. So in rough terms, the UK's current wind generating capacity is in the order of 30 gigawatts, a bit more. And current electricity demand levels in the UK are about that, a bit more. So with a threefold increase in essentially government-backed contracts for difference generating capacity going up threefold to 90, you can see that on the days that the wind is blowing, there is an issue.
Yeah, okay. So based on that, this 10 megawatt, is it gigawatt of storage of hydrogen?
No. So part of the government's objectives with respect to hydrogen are to develop 10 gigawatts of hydrogen production capacity. That's part of their planned solution to this energy transition and to this particular issue we've just discussed. And of that, they are expecting the majority, over half, to come from green hydrogen type solutions.
Okay, and what will that energy actually be sold off for or used? Is that part of what you're talking about in terms of the government planning?
Yes, yeah, so in the government's policy, let's say direction here, and this is been, so it's not just this recently elected government, but it's also the previous one. Hydrogen has been seen as a key element of the UK's energy transition. So it's used to store excess renewable wind energy, but also it needs to find a market home, that hydrogen energy, and that can come in different ways and different aspects of market. What developers of hydrogen storage have to contribute here in the government support process is connecting those the producers of hydrogen effectively with the market of hydrogen and address the imbalances in of the energy supply and demand that is going to be there.
Yeah. So I've got a question, Ben, regarding this sort of, let's say prioritization, because in the RNS it talked about government guidance and it says that they effectively projects are expected to be ranked highly, will be connected hydrogen producers with consumers and balance, enable low carbon fuel flexible power gen provided at paced decarbonisation pathway. So just how do you expect, I mean, presumably there's a number of companies selected in the initial, and then are they then shortlisted to a few? I mean, can you just talk us through how the processes will work?
Yeah, my understanding is that criteria will be established to judge prospective projects, and those criteria will be orientated towards the government energy policy ambitions and targets. And so Energy Pathways will be essentially looking to put forward a project that ranks highly relative to those criteria.
So, Ben, I don't want anybody to lose sight of this because you're not effectively just a storage company. And in fact, you can only be a storage company if you actually execute part one, which is get the gas out there in the first place. So, the Marin site is obviously prospective for gas. You know the gas is there. And obviously, with the policy of wind being major, when the wind doesn't blow, the UK needs gas. Now, what's happening at the minute is we're bringing in LNG and it's costing us a fortune. So how do we make sure that these type of projects and Marin and any other AN other, which is just close to Marin, which you've discussed, I think, in the past, actually happens?
Yeah, well, look, it's the integrated nature of it, of what we're doing and how it actually plays out in the region we're in. So this is an ideal where we are in the UK RSC is an ideal location for doing energy storage and providing those services in support of the UK's energy transition. And that comes across both in from a gas point of view, and as you've rightly pointed out, we can have immediate effect with the development of our mesh project in the supply and storage of gas into the UK market as it becomes increasingly dependent on LNG imports to meet its needs. And that can complement a hydrogen storage development at the same location. And why this is all applicable or an ideal place to do it is because where our storage project is surrounded by wind farms and it's generators of excess energy. That energy can be harnessed, and then it could be brought into market in various means from the storage, but including this area is the one of the leading areas for hydrogen markets through the HyNet Northwest project, which is around Manchester and Liverpool. We can bring hydrogen to market through some of the existing pipeline infrastructure of this region. So there's multiple market avenues to bring stored hydrogen into the UK market.
So what's the next steps then? What are we going to hear next from Energy Pathways?
Well, we're getting on with what we need to do, which is moving the mesh project forward, and we are working through and finalizing our pre-FEED. So we're going to have news flow in the coming weeks with respect to pre-FEED activities, bringing on our stakeholder partnership group who are a part of the entire project and various interactions with government with respect to licenses. So basically, a lot of news flow coming through in the coming weeks, and then by the end of the this calendar year, we're looking to move into FEED activity, and through 2025, it'll be a very busy program with completing FEED and all the associated commercial and financing arrangements for the development project, which we're looking to get to an FID decision at the end of 2025.
Okay, so that's final investment decision by the end of 2025, the pre-feasibility study by the end of this year, and next year then the feasibility study throughout the year, getting you to the final investment decision. And this group of partners that you talked about, do you expect that once they're in place, they're the people who are going to take this project all the way to fruition?
Yeah, they're long-term strategic partner companies. They're tier one companies, global major type companies that we're dealing with, and they're supporting the project, being a part of effectively the whole journey here.
So they're effectively involved already, but you haven't been able to announce them, or they're going to be involved.
They're already involved. Discussions are continuing. Those are commercial discussions, but at the right time, we'll be making public announcements with respect to those relationships.
Very good. It seems like you're in the right place at the right time. And as you called it, UK Inc. desperately needs this. I think it's going to cost them a fortune. Otherwise, as taxpayers, it's going to cost us all a fortune if we don't sort this out. And also gives us the availability to have steady state electric supplies. How do you see it as a final question? How do you see this whole, not just electric cars, but electrification of everything, increasing the actual amount that we talked about, the just over 30 megawatts, I think it was, for electricity supply in the UK? Do you see that that's going to expand rapidly over the next decade or two or not?
Well, it's certainly a government objective to electrify the energy system in the UK. The pace of that to date has not been great. So over the last 2 decades, in effect, electricity demand in the UK has actually decreased. So that transition of electrification hasn't, let's say, manifested itself as yet. But the aspiration here is that that's going to change. But my personal view is that that sort of electricity demand level is the rate of that is not going to be going to accelerate to mitigate the need for storage solutions in the UK's future energy mix.
Yeah, that's great. We look forward to speaking to you again in the not too distant future, where you can hopefully announce some of these household names to us that want to get on board with the UK Inc. and Energy Pathways. And good luck with all your negotiations, Ben.
Thank you
No
very
worries.
much.
Ben Klube, CEO of Energy Pathways. Thanks very much for appearing on the podcast.
This podcast was brought to you by Roast PR Limited. If you would like to appear on a future episode of The Sunday Roast, please email admin@thesundayroast.net.